I want to talk this morning about a place of prayer. You know, when Jesus took the made the whip out of the cords and drove the people from the temple, the money changers from the temple, he said that God had said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves," and he drove them out. You know, the temple has long since been destroyed. The Western Wall is still there. If you go to Israel and you go to the Western Wall, you'll see the religious Jews going and praying at that wall and putting little prayers, little notes into the cracks of the stones. It's important to have a place of prayer. If you saw the movie The War Room, anybody see that movie? That was an awesome movie. Little old lady, of course I don't remember her name, but set up a spot in her closet, cleaned out her closet, and made that closet a place of prayer. In Matthew 6, beginning with verse 5, passage we are all familiar with, says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespass." So Jesus says this, you know, Matthew 6, he's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Notice some of the things he says in there. He says, people that are praying to be seen by others, they have their reward. They're praying to be spotted. They're praying to let everybody think they're religious or think they're pious, and they've accomplished what they set out to do. On down, he says, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathens do. And then he goes farther and he talks about, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you yours. In each of these things, he's talking about when we come before the Lord in prayer, it should be about our attitude. It should be about the purpose why we're doing that. Are we praying to communicate with God and let God communicate with us? Or are we praying because it's something we always do? Or are we praying so that we can be seen? Or are we praying just because, you know, I'm supposed to, but I really don't like this person over here, and I've got harboring things in my heart. I'm not surrendering my heart to the Lord. And if you spend a lot of time, if you spend time in a variety of churches, or in a lot of big multi-church gatherings, or maybe you listen to like a Billy Graham evangelistic crusade or something like that, one of the big known, well-known speakers, one of the things they'll do is they get, as they come to the altar call, they're going to ask for every head bowed and every eye closed, everyone in an attitude of prayer. You ever heard that? The attitude of prayer. Never go in and describe what an attitude of prayer is, do they? It's an expectation. You're supposed to know these things. But the thing of it is, when we humble ourselves before God, it doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. If we are honestly humbling ourselves before God, it doesn't matter if anybody's watching. It doesn't matter if somebody thinks we're being pious. None of that matters. If we're honestly seeking the face of God, if we're honestly trying to get alone with God, yes, we don't want the distraction, so we're going to try and find a place that's away from the distractions. But we don't advertise what we're doing. Coming to find a place of prayer, and it's something each and every one of us needs to do. And it doesn't have to be even the same place all the time. The war room idea was a wonderful idea. I have a 10-room house. I don't have a room empty enough to go. Praise God. On the other hand, we do have a collection of antique sewing machines. To be fair, we also have a collection of fishing poles I haven't used recently either. Okay? But having a place where we can get alone with God. A time and a place. But not to be so limited to it that that's the only time we pray. It's like, if I can't get to that one spot, I can't pray. That's not being humble before God and seeking a place of prayer either. When we seek a place of prayer, we are coming to a point where within our heart is the desire to communicate with the Lord. And yes, we want a place that's private. We want a time without distractions. We want a lot of different things. But if we let those limitations hinder us from getting close to God, we still haven't found a place of prayer. In Genesis 12, verses 7 and 8, says, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Abram at this time. He's not even Abraham yet. And says, 'I've called you.' He'd called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, out of the land of his fathers, away from his family, and said, 'To this land I'm going to give you.' And he sat down and he made a place to pray to the Lord. He built an altar. He consecrated a place to pray to the Lord. You know, that's not the only place that Abraham prayed to the Lord, right? Everybody gets that? We all understand that? But as he was dealing with the Lord, he set a place to do it. Genesis 13, 1 through 4. After he comes back from Egypt, when Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that they had, and Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord." Abraham had set up a place. It's like, I'm going to pray to the Lord other places, but when I'm here, I'm also going to be praying to the Lord. Having a place of prayer. Place of prayer might be on your couch. Might be beside your bed. Might be in your car. Hopefully not going down highway at 100 miles an hour. Of course, you shouldn't be going 100 miles an hour anyway. I'm pretty sure that's above the speed limit in any place except for, is it Montana? There's a state out west that does not have a speed limit. However, if you get in an accident, you also get a ticket for speeding, exceeding the safe driving speed for the road. Because if you got in an accident, you obviously were going too fast. One way of doing things. Having a place, having a time, having a situation where you get before the Lord. See, God's all around us. God is omnipresent, meaning He's everywhere. He's omniscient, meaning He knows everything. Jesus just told us, your Father knows the things you ask before you pray. Another place that tells us not to be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make our requests known unto God. So, praying to the Lord is part of the expected communication that comes with a relationship. Jesus didn't say, if you pray, He said, when you pray. He didn't say, you know, all things being equal, you're probably not going to do this, but just in case you do. He said, no, when you pray. Don't be like the hypocrites. When you pray, don't be like the heathen. When you pray, forgive. When you pray, pray after this manner. Pray something like this. In Genesis 28, verse 16 to 19. Then Jacob went from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Now the preceding verses here, he laid down to go to sleep, and as he slept, he saw this vision of a ladder stretching from there up to heaven and angels ascending and descending. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. He consecrated a place. He said, God's here. Little old lady in the movie The War Room, set it up. This is where I meet with the Lord to do battle. This is where I meet to the Lord, with the Lord to do spiritual warfare. This is where I meet with the Lord to cry out and to plead for those around me, to plead my cause. Abraham, the Lord spoke to him. And he built an altar. And there he called upon the name of the Lord. He came back through and he came to that same place and he called upon the name of the Lord. Two generations later, his grandson, traveling from his own sin and his own rebellion and tricking his father and cheating his brother, stopped there. And guess what? God was there. Having a place, having a not just a physical location, but a place in our heart where we determine to cry out to God. In Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. He says, early I'm going to seek you. God, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to get to know you. Early, I will seek you. And then drop down to verse 6. It says, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you and your right hand upholds me. He says, in the same psalm, he says, I'm going to seek you early and I'm going to seek you late. In the night watches, in the middle of the night, when I get up, You're on my mind. You're in my heart. Scripture talks about giving thanks at meals. It talks about seeking the Lord in the third hour is when it was time to go for prayer. You have early in the morning, then you have third hour, then you have the noon watch, and then you have the afternoon. Praying all day long. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. So if we only pray in a specific place, there's no way we're going to pray without ceasing. Right? But if we recognize that though we are to seek the Lord all day and every day and in everything give thanks, we need to set aside a place, set aside a time, set aside a situation where we get close to the Lord. Whenever I find myself here, I'm going to pray. Whenever this happens, I'm going to pray. Several years ago, Deb and I were with an older Christian couple. We were very young in the ministry. We were with a couple that had been in ministry for many years. And as we're sitting there talking, an ambulance drove by. Lights on, siren on. And they stopped what they were doing right then and immediately began to pray. They didn't say, hey, will you join us in prayer? They stopped. That was one of those things. And it's kind of hit me, and I try to do it, and I'm not as faithful at it as I should be. But just that thought, there's a situation that needs God's touch. Don't know what it is. God does. And it was just an automatic thing with them. It was a habit that they had built up, knowing that that was something that needed God's touch, needed God working in the situation. And as soon as they heard the siren, they stopped what they were doing, stopped conversation mid-sentence, and began to pray. That's a good thing. That's something each and every one of us could do. It's not even something that we have to do it this way. I'm not saying this is things that we have to do. I'm saying we should look for opportunities. We should look for situations where we realize that that ambulance could have gone another way. It did not have to go by our hearing. It could have went by without a siren. Since God doesn't waste anything, that's a call for each and every one of us to cry out to the Lord and seek His face. To seek His face for that situation. Not for ourselves, anything else. But finding things like that where you say, Lord, this is on my heart. I want to lift it up to You. A couple of years ago, Deb and I were on vacation in February in New Hampshire, and I got an email from Sue. You guys know Sue, right? Yeah, sits back here. She works Sundays.
Yeah.
She works like every other Sundays as a home health nurse.
Right.
So she sends me an email and says that, you know, as you're driving down the road and the person in front of you is going considerably slower than you would like to be traveling, realize this is probably the only time that person will ever cross your path, and it's a perfect opportunity to lift them up to the Father. I try. I really try. I do it often, but that's the thing. Looking for triggers to say, Lord, touch him. Father, move in that situation. Quite a few years ago, I was here we were here for church one Sunday morning, and it was the day of the Burlington Marathon. And I am obviously not a runner. Never have been. the marathon's not something I ever think about or hadn't ever thought about at that point. And in prayer that morning, it was just on my heart to lift up those runners, to lift up everyone that participated. And we found out later that there was a gentleman who collapsed about 100 yards from the finish line. And his core temperature was 106. So, by everything I ever learned in school, he should have been dead. But they put him right in a bath of ice water, and he was in the hospital here in Burlington for several weeks. And then they sent him down, he was from Georgia, and sent him back home. And he had to go check in immediately at the hospital there for some more weeks of treatment before they let him go. And I had read about it in the newspaper, and I looked up his name. It just said Georgia. Okay, so I have his name and I have the state of Georgia. So I started doing a search and found somebody by that name, and I wrote a letter. I said, I don't know if this is you, but your name and state match this, and explained the situation. I said, that Sunday morning, it was on my heart to pray for the runners. And then I hear what had happened to you, and that your survival is nothing short of a miracle. And just wanted to let you know, if this is you, that God knew what was coming and had me and had other people praying before it ever occurred. Proof that God loves you. He wrote back, it was the guy. And he was coming up the next year to volunteer. He wasn't going to run, but he came up and he met with Deb and I gave us a picture of him, because, you know, that race is in March. In November, he ran a half marathon. He almost died in March. November, he'd ran a half marathon, because God heals. Anytime I hear the race is coming, I think about it. Is God putting it on my heart? And often he's not. But we need to be open to the Lord, that when something like that comes up, that we know that God is in control. Mark 13, beginning with verse 32. The disciples asked Jesus when the last days were going to be, what was going to be the sign of his coming. Jesus says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. Jesus' own words, we're told to watch and pray, to be open to the Spirit of God. Having that place of prayer in our heart. Having that place of prayer, that time where we set aside to call upon his name. That place where we set aside to listen and to draw close to him. It's going through the psalm, the titles, the subtitles on some of the psalms. Psalm 6 says, it's a prayer of faith in time of distress. Are we ever distressed? There's a psalm for that. Psalm 38 says, a prayer in time of chastening. You ever been chastened? Praise God. Psalm 43, a prayer to God in time of trouble. Remember, the word tells us, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes we really, really, really have to exercise our faith and our obedience to give thanks for things that are very, very difficult. Things that we can see no benefit to, no good things coming out of. But we know absolutely and for sure that God is in control. As He's called us to seek His face and to draw close to Him. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. They have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Father, you've called each and every one of us to set a place, to set a time, to set circumstances, Lord, where we seek your face. Father, so often we let distractions get in the way. We let other things happen. Things get lost in the shuffle. Things get messed up in our busy schedules. But Father, we will to be obedient. So help us, Father. Lord, show each and every one of us how we can be better, how we can do better at this. Show each and every one of us, Father, what you've called us to do. As we set that place of prayer, that time of prayer, the circumstances of prayer, and not just one, Lord, but so many different ways, because we're called to pray without ceasing. So help us, Father. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.